Welcome to the Men's Global Live Stream. If you have a Bible, I want you to hold one spot in that Bible, and that's in Matthew chapter 25. We are in part 5 of our series called Multiply, and if you're joining us for the first time, let's review a little bit. When you multiply anything, there's more, not less, of whatever that thing is. So when Jesus, in the context of talking about his return, is telling a story about a master who gave some of his servants some money to manage while he is away, and then the master returns to see what they did with it, the headline is this: what did they do with what I gave them? Specifically, is there more? So in part one, what we did is we kind of set the template for the parts to come, where we would look afresh at the master's heart in Matthew chapter 25 in the parable of the talents. And we would look at the servants who were entrusted with the master's money, the talents, and then evaluate them. Secondly, we've identified 5 things that the master, God, has given us, and he wants us to multiply those things. And those are, by way of review, life and existence, okay, salvation, relationships, natural and spiritual gifts, and material resources. Okay, those are not an exhaustive list, but those are the big ones where we can, in our own lives, we can evaluate and say, yep, I have life and existence. I've been given salvation. I have a network of relationships. I have natural talents and spiritual gifts. And I have material resources that God has blessed me with that he's given to me and entrusted me with that I am called to multiply. So what we're going to do is what we've done in each session of this series. We're going to unpack afresh Jesus's words. We're going to add a fresh new kind of take on the passage from Matthew 25. And then we're going to look at a specific area, how we can multiply that area practically. Why? So that we can hear those words that the first and second servants heard from the master when he returned. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So today, we are going to talk about multiplying our natural talents and spiritual gifts that God has entrusted with us. And to get you thinking in the right direction, I want to just ask you a question. Has anybody ever said to you, "You are so good at that"? Anybody ever said that to you? Some people have said that to me, and just, I don't know really kind of how to respond sometimes, because I am the least objective person about myself. But there's some credibility that comes from someone else saying it to you as they observe you, and you know, hopefully they're not married to you or they're not trying to manipulate you. They're just making an observation. Man, you know what? You're so good at that, right? And, you know, all of us have abilities, right? Just pause on that one for a bit. All of us have natural abilities, okay? And some of our abilities rank higher than other ones in our life. And we may not be the best at those things, but we're good at those things, and people recognize that. But in our chest of natural abilities, some things rank higher than the other. You know, like maybe you're a better athlete than you are a musician, or maybe you're a better musician than you are an athlete. Maybe you're a better tech guy than a handyman. Maybe you're better under pressure than when given too much time to do something. You get the point. Or maybe one of you guys have said, you know what, I don't have that gene in the family, right? I don't have the athletic gene. I don't have the music gene. I don't have the science gene in the family. You see, some abilities we are born with, and some we have as believers in Jesus Christ that are gifts from the Holy Spirit. Like when I think about some of those abilities that, you know, you're born with, I think of like the Manning family, okay? I grew up watching Archie Manning play quarterback. Oh, just so happens his son Peyton Manning played quarterback in the NFL. Oh, just so happens that his other son Eli Manning played quarterback in the NFL. Oh, it just so happens that the grandson of Archie Manning Arch Manning is the quarterback at Texas, right? And he'll probably be playing in the NFL too. But, you know, there are some families, right, where the genetic DNA and composition and the body brain, it's just a natural ability in those families. It's not limited to the area of sports, you know. I know families of musicians. I know families of doctors. I know families of engineers. And the common denominators are genetics, mentoring and development, right, in the family. And number three, practice and use of those natural abilities. So that's like natural talents. But in our spiritual life, in our spiritual family, the Bible says the moment you believe for yourself personally in the person and work of Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts into you. Now, there are lists of spiritual gifts in Scripture, but what I want you to hear right now is that the Holy Spirit, when you believed, right, deposited special spiritual gifts that you are called to use and develop and practice using and get better at as you grow closer and closer in your relationship with God. So let's review our theme, multiply, on the downloaded notes. Let's take another fresh look at our core passage, and then let's start down the road of how to think about natural talents versus spiritual gifts. And then let's finish out by talking about what God's word says about multiplying both your natural talents and your spiritual gifts. So let's take a look at our theme, multiply. It's right there on your downloaded notes. It means to make some more of or become greater. Progressive growth in size, amount, or intensity, all right? And so we want to take that theme that we got to make more into the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. And we're going to take a fresh look. We've seen some of these verses before, but we're going to extract a new, fresh observation out of it. So let's look at Matthew 25, 19 to 22. It says this: after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So let's make 3 fresh observations from our passage. And the first fresh observation is this: we sense the joy of the servant. Write that down. You know what he says? He says, see? Like, it's like, look, I gained 5 more, you know? And he's thrilled because he knows the master's heart. Secondly, we sense the joy of the master, right? And it comes out, his insides, his joy inside comes out in words. He's like, awesome job. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Those are the things that give the master joy, not just the outcome, but the character of the servant, that he's good and that he's faithful to the master's heart. Third, we see the joy of reward. Come and share your master's happiness. It's a communal thing. It's like servant, master, goodness and faithfulness. He returns. He experiences the goodness and faithfulness of his servant. He gets 10 bags after getting 5 bags. And remember, those bags, those talents, that's 6,000 pounds a bag, okay, of gold or silver. So, I mean, yes, totally stoked, okay? But what I want you to see afresh in this parable, it's not so much the performance aspect. I want you to see the joy. Just the joy of the servant. Master, see, I've gained 5 more, right? Because he's thought to himself, you know, I know my master, and I know he's trusted me, and I know I know he wants me to do more with what I've got. And I did. And then you see, you know, the master, and it just, his insides flood out and just, man, pours it on. I'm, man, this is great. I love your faithfulness. I'm going to put you, I'm giving you more. I'm trusting you with more. Big lesson there, right? I'm going to trust you with more because you've been faithful with what I gave you at first, you know? And then there's the reward. It's just like, oh my gosh, let's celebrate this sucker, right? Let's put you in charge of a lot of things. Let's give you more. And you know what? Just come and, man, share my happiness. You know, that's Jesus talking. That's the moment. It's a parable here, but it's a moment every single one of us is going to experience, right? The master is going to return, or we're going to return to the master, and we're going to have a moment in front of him. He's going to say, glad you're here. You're in. You're my servant on earth. Now, what did you do with what I gave you? And you know what I want more than anything? More than anything, I want that moment to be great for you, where you can just go, see, this is the life that you gave me, and this is how I multiplied it. Or see, these are the relationships that you gave me, and this is how I invested in them, and this is how I multiplied it. You know? See, these are the natural talents that you deposited in me through my parents using their DNA. And this is how I'm multiplying. These are my spiritual gifts that came into my life and that I discovered and started using when I got saved, right? Now, the place to land just in this fresh look is this. And it's in John chapter 15, verse 11. And Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And I want you to see the heart of Jesus. Jesus tells us parables. Jesus gives us commands. Jesus makes us promises that as we trust and believe and apply and live out his word in our lives, as we seek to go in the direction of the master's heart, I love that the outcome is joy. That this relationship here, there's ways to experience the joy of that relationship through stewardship, right? Yes, your joy will overflow. And that's what you really see happening between servant and master, is joy overflowing, okay? So let's now, after that fresh look, right, multiplying what God has entrusted and the joy that comes from multiplying what God entrusts to us, let's look at our next area, which is natural talents and spiritual gifts. And I thought we needed to kind of take a step back, right, before we talk about multiplying natural talents and spiritual gifts, is just to kind of think about them a little bit, because we can't use them interchangeably, okay? Natural talents and spiritual gifts are different things, but there's some commonalities and there's some differences. So let's look at those, right? And here's how to think about them, all right? And I put them, you know, in contrast. So the first way to think about natural talents versus spiritual gifts is same source versus different source, okay? Different sources. Both natural talents and spiritual gifts come from the same source, okay? The creator of all things, right? The creator of all matter, the creator of all life, the creator of all environments, right? Natural and spiritual abilities come from that source, right? So it's the source of your genetics. It's the source of your environment. That's the source of your location on planet Earth. It's the source of supernatural deposit, okay? So both natural talents and spiritual gifts come from the same source versus different source. Next filter we want to put on there is inherited versus received. Now, when on the inherited part, and I think you already are catching my drift here, is that God uses your parents, wherever your DNA came from, right? God uses DNA from your parents that you inherit. I like to say, you know, I had no control over, you know, being half Guamanian and half American. That's just the DNA of my parents. And, you know, this skin color that you see, this little cafe latte guy right there on the screen, all right, he's what they call a Hapa, right? He's half and half, okay? So I inherited that. I inherited my mom's genetics. I inherited my dad's genetics. And those genetics put into me natural talents and abilities that then I have to grow and develop, right? Okay, inherited versus received, and this is where there's a distinguishing difference. Spiritual gifts are received, right? They're received from the Holy Spirit after belief in the person and work of Christ and salvation. So you could say natural talents come at birth, spiritual gifts come when you're born again. All right. The third filter I want us to cover is unsaved versus saved. Now, a person who has believed in the person and work of Christ, that person biblically is different than the person who has not believed in the person and work of Christ. One is a creation of God, and the other, in addition to being a creation of God, has become a child of God through their belief in the person and work of Christ. So a person who is unsaved or they haven't trusted in Christ, his person and work, for their forgiveness of sins resulting in their salvation, that person can only have natural talents and abilities. Now, here's a point of demarcation. A saved person who is also a creation of God, but is also a child of God, guess what? It's the double bonus, right? You do have your natural talents and abilities plus spiritual gifts, which make for a powerful combination, all right? The fourth filter that I want us to think about natural talents versus spiritual gifts is this: grow by training versus grow by maturity, okay? Latent or dormant talents that are inherited that come through your family line, those grow by training and development. That's why in my example of the Manning family, which is a football family of amazing quarterbacks, right? Peyton Manning, if he's not developing his natural physical, mental, athletic skill sets through practice, play, putting the pads on from when he's a little mighty mite all the way till he's a quarterback in the NFL, he does not grow those talents and abilities, okay? So natural talents are grown by training, but spiritual gifts, and this is really important. So if you're a Christian, you have natural talents, you should grow those natural talents, right? By practice and training. But if you also have spiritual gifts, those grow by maturity in your relationship with God. I can look back after 40 years of walking with the Lord at my deposited spiritual gifts, and they were there, they were deposited, they were forming, but were they mature? No, like what I'm doing right here, right now, I couldn't be doing this right now back then. But as I began to recognize my spiritual gifts, and as I began to grow in my relationship with God, that's when I began to get asked to teach the Bible, right? Or to lead, right? And then I would take a step of faith and say yes to that opportunity, because of my relationship with God, and because that was growing, and because I was growing in my faith and trust in God, I went, okay, Lord, I'm going to try this. And then you use the gifts that God deposits. God creates fruit from using those gifts. So your gifts get affirmed, right? By the fruit that is born, and perhaps by the body of Christ around you. I remember going up the elevator at Hedrick Hall with my friend Ovidio Diaz from Panama, and he said to me, and I was shocked that he said, he goes, "Hey, Kenny," and he has an accent. He goes, Kenny, I think you have the gift of evangelism. And I remember going, okay, I'm not so sure what the gift of evangelism is. Maybe it's just being excited about talking about Jesus, but maybe I do, maybe I don't, I don't know. But as I began to show up to different opportunities and situations that God would put me in, that gift got affirmed and I grew more effective. And I share my journey a little bit, that if you're just getting started in your walk with the Lord, you have spiritual gifts, and God is going to place you in settings where you're just going to start being the you who follows Jesus, and someone is going to say to you, like, did you know that, you know, you have this gift? I was in a board meeting the other night and for Everyman Ministries, and I did that exact thing. I recognize a spiritual gift in one of my board members, and I think it's the first time that he's ever heard this. But I said, do you realize that you have the gift of prophecy? And he just kind of went, but everybody in the room said, yep, you do. But I was just the first one to say it. So if that happens to you, don't be surprised, don't be shocked, don't be scared, right? Because God has deposited spiritual gifts in your life. And as you mature in your relationship with Christ, and grow in that relationship, that's going to be more and more evident and affirmed that it's there. The last filter that I want to cover in terms of thinking about natural talents and spiritual gifts is serve self or serve God. Okay? Now, when it comes to natural talents, right, you got a choice. You can use those natural talents and abilities to serve yourself, or you can use those natural talents to serve God. Okay. On the other side, right, spiritual gifts are given, listen, to serve God's purposes, right? So if you have a believer and they have natural talents and spiritual gifts, they can choose to use those natural talents on themselves, okay? But when they use their spiritual gifts, all right, those are for God's purposes, right? And they can even just functionally exist outside the character of the believer, because when you use something that God gives, it works, okay? And so I want you to see that. We can serve self or serve God, all right? And natural talents can be used to serve self, all right? But again, just the headline is, God wants us to use and multiply our natural talents and our spiritual gifts for his purposes, okay? Now, the goal is to multiply natural talents and spiritual gifts that he's entrusted to us versus what? Waste them on things that don't last, or spend them on ourselves, or listen to the world and say, oh, well, you need to use your talents and gifts this way, right? Now, assuming that you voted with your feet and you're listening to this global live stream in some fashion, that's your desire, I want you to listen for, in God's word, the key to multiplying natural talents and spiritual gifts from Romans chapter 12. It says this, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. develops well-formed maturity in you. Did you hear it? The secret? It's like plunk in the middle of that description about you as a believer, you having a life with different dimensions, and then a choice that you make of embracing what God wants you to do. And then it says this, instead, fix your attention on God, right? Fix your attention on God. Be focused on God. And guess what? You will focus on using your natural talents and abilities, as well as your spiritual gifts, for His purposes, right? You'll use those. You'll recognize, oh, you know what? He wants me to do this with my natural talents. He wants me to do this with my spiritual gifts. I recognize the situation. But the basis for doing that is to fix your attention on God. Kind of reminds me of Matthew 6:33. There's a little bonus verse. Just write that down in the column outside there, which is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When you are loving God, thinking about God, focused on God, and you're fixed, your attention is fixed on Him on a daily basis, you're going to move toward what you think about naturally, okay? You're going to naturally use your talents and spiritual gifts for Him as your focus and your thinking is on Him, all right? So there's some ways to think about natural talents and spiritual gifts. I think they all kind of make sense. And we needed that basis to then now talk about what do we do to multiply talents and spiritual gifts. And on your notes in the headline, it says, use them. Pretty simple. You know, God has entrusted you with natural talents and spiritual gifts, and He doesn't want them sitting on the shelf. Okay. He has given them to you for you to use them, all right? And the first way to multiply your natural talents and spiritual gifts is this. Write this down. I use them for God's glory. I use my natural talents and spiritual gifts for God's glory, okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Coach Paul the Apostle is kind of getting this point, just kind of like getting it across, just kind of like I'm trying to get it across to you. But he wrote it down and he said this, to the believers in Corinth. He said, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. All right? If you're taking notes and you have your pen out, just circle, do it all. Do it all, right? When you do what you are gifted and called to do, do it well. Develop those natural talents. Develop those spiritual gifts. Show up. Deploy them with excellence and with faithfulness. And when you do that, that glorifies God, right? Versus what? Just kind of phone it in. You could do it better if you practiced a little bit better. You could do it better if you sought some opportunities to use those spiritual gifts, but you don't. You just kind of phone it in. You just kind of wander through life showing up versus understanding what God has given you. He wants you to develop. He wants you to become good at, and He wants you to use. That glorifies God, right? And when you get your head right about this, you multiply natural talents and spiritual gifts for God. You're fixed and you're focused, all right? Listen to this picture that's painted about that. Being fixed and focused and doing what we do to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, it says this, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. I think Paul has in his mind the words of Jesus in Matthew 25, the very passage that we're studying, because this is a multiplier's mindset right here. Now, we all have bosses. We are all accountable to people. Maybe you work for an organization, but that's not your highest employer. That is not your highest motivator. That's not the number one person in your life. That's not who's gonna meet with you once your heart stops. Nope, that's the master, right? And he provides the highest motivation, right? In terms of you using your natural talents and spiritual gifts. You use them for an audience of one. So Paul is kind of speaking into daily life. It's like, yeah, you have a talent, you're using it. Maybe you're making a wage and, you know, you report to a boss. You know, maybe you have spiritual gifts, but listen, your earthly boss or even your church boss, right? You're not going to be reporting to them when your heart stops. You're going to be reporting to the master. So why don't you let the master and that future meeting discipline you in the present and you start working for him right now. It's not a then and there. It's a here and now. That's a different mentality when you show up for work, right? You got your boss, but you should be exceeding your boss's expectations because you work for an audience of one. You work for the master of the universe, right? You stroll into the office, right? You got reports to do. You got a job to do. You got revenue to add to the company. Okay, you could do that the normal way, or you could do it with outstanding excellence. Not maybe because your boss is the greatest, but because your true boss, right? The CEO of everything, who created you, who gave you natural talents and spiritual gifts. He's like, I want to share my joy with you. You know my heart. Go for it, all right? So that's the first way that you multiply your natural and spiritual gifts is you just go, you know what? I'm gonna use my natural talents and spiritual gifts to glorify God. Second way to multiply natural talents and spiritual gifts is use them to minister to others. Aha! Glorify God with them. Use them to minister to others, okay? In the scripture, there's a group of believers in Galatia, and Coach Paul the Apostle, man, he's got that mindset, man. He knows the parable of the talents, man. He's coaching these believers up. What does he say? He says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those who are the family of faith. So when it comes to ministering to others, just do good. Do good to them, right? And who's our audience? Everybody, okay? That includes unbeliever and believer. Everyone and the family of God. Paul doesn't make a distinction, but there is like, hey, you know, and there's your family. There's your spiritual family that, you know, your brothers and sisters forever with. You know, especially you should be taking care of business there. You should be using your natural talents and gifts to do good with unbelievers and those that you know are in the family of God, your brothers and your sisters, right? It's just, you know, it's the family power. It's a family, you know, connection. You'll do things for family you won't do for other people, that's for sure, right? And they have a special spot, right? They have place in your life. Family has place. So if you know Christians and you have talents and spiritual gifts, God's going to open up some opportunities for you to minister to them by doing good using those natural talents and spiritual gifts. But guess what? You have non-believers that are in your life as well, and God is equally concerned about them, and he wants you to do good to everyone. That's why here at Everyman, we launched the Dangerous Good Movement. In fact, we're going to be coming to a city near you. But we launched the Dangerous Good Movement, the coming revolution of men who care, exactly for this reason. We know that every man of God on the planet and in every major city, he has natural talents and spiritual gifts that God wants him to use in his community. Okay? So, use your spiritual gifts and natural talents to glorify God, use them to minister to others. Number three, third way to multiply natural talents and spiritual gifts, use them in your context. Okay, you say, Kenny, what do you mean in your context? All right, you have a unique footprint and profile. You are a certain age, You live on a certain part of the planet. You have a certain relational context. You have a certain place that you live, a certain place that you work, a certain place where you play, you know, maybe a certain church where you pray. But you have a very unique footprint. And in that place and with those people and in your context, right? Those are the spaces and places where God is going to give you opportunities to use your natural talents and spiritual gifts. Jesus talks about this when he's talking about us as light. Let's read the words and then we'll unpack what he means. Matthew 5:15, he says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in that house," or in the house. So Jesus says your identity is light. Jesus says that that where you're placed, you're gonna figuratively, spiritually, supernaturally shine the light of Christ in that space. But I wanna focus on, you don't put a lamp or a light under something that hinders its light. Where does Jesus say you put it? You put it on its stand. Now, just context here. When Jesus is saying this in the first century, there's no light switches. There's no power plants. There's no phones that you walk down the hallway with. There's oil lamps and lampstands. And the lampstand is strategically placed in a house so that when the sun goes down and it gets inky black, that lampstand is placed strategically to spread max light to as many spaces and to as much square footage in that house. So when you go back to the passage and he says, nope, instead you put it on its stand, its lampstand. He's saying to us, I have put you in the optimal spot. I put you where I've chosen to put you. I put you in a room that will spread light to certain spaces and places. You have your lampstand. I have my lampstand. You have your geography. I have my geography. You have your workplace. I have my workplace. You have your network of friends. I have my network of friends. You have your lampstand. I have my lampstand. And you know what? I know that some of you are just like, man, I wish my lampstand was in Hawaii or somewhere different. That's not where God put you, okay? God put you where you are today. You're there because he put you there. There's a little bit of comfort in knowing that, hey, I'm here for a purpose, and I am where I am right now for a purpose, and that's to multiply my natural talents and spiritual gifts, shine my light where I am. Talks about this in 1 Corinthians 7:17, says this, and don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. Okay? So can we just confess together, every man, nation, right? God, thank you that I live where I live. Thank you that you call me to obey you where I live. Thank you that you call me to believe where I live. Thank you that I am where I am today in this moment, on these days, and in this season. Help me use my natural talents and spiritual gifts in the spaces and places that you put me. Help me to shine my light on my lampstand. Amen? Amen. All right. The fourth way to use and multiply your natural talents and spiritual gifts is to use them to share your faith, okay? Isn't that amazing? That just your natural talents and then the spiritual gifts that were also deposited in you and given to you, you can use those to tell others the why behind the what of your natural talents and spiritual gifts. Talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in God's word. Let's read that together and unpack it. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Okay, so we have the treasure of the Spirit of Christ living inside this vessel called our bodies, right? Which in God's word is referred to as a jar of clay. It's very common. Jars of clay, very fragile. You know, you bust one, it breaks into a million pieces. Why does God choose to use this analogy? Because the attention is not on the jar, the common jar of clay. The attention is on what's inside of the jar. And what's inside the jar is precious, powerful. It's a treasure. What God has put inside of us is precious and powerful. And when it comes out of the jar, right, it shows God's power, right? So we need to be, I don't know, multiplying jars of clay that have that precious power called Jesus, that precious person. We have natural talents and spiritual gifts that he's planted within us, that when we use them and our attention is on God, we're going to show people the why behind the what of our natural talents and our spiritual gifts. And then we get to talk about Jesus. How cool is that? You don't have to sweat that out, by the way. Just fix your attention on God. Show up to the spaces and places that you occupy. Work on your natural talents. Work on your spiritual gifts. Let them come out. Discern them. Keep growing your relationship with God. Keep growing in your skill with his word and understanding what he wants you to do. Recognize opportunities. Step into them. Man, you're not going to be busting down doors. God does not need to bust down a door but to get someone's attention. But he can send you. Maybe it has a natural talent or spiritual gift that someone needs in your context. And naturally, organically, you do what you do in him. And then the Holy Spirit starts working because that's all from God. That's all from the Holy Spirit. Pretty cool. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it talks about the how. How do my natural talents and spiritual gifts get used to share my faith? Well, step one is be willing, but step two is, you know, start talking to God about that, right? Look what it says in Colossians 4. Pray diligently, stay alert, with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ, even while I'm locked up in this jail. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ plain as day to them. So if you kind of follow, you know, the dominoes, you know, what you have is pray, okay? Pray. What does that look like, Kenny? Lord, use me today. Just use me. I'm yours. I'm surrendered. I got to go to work. Got to go to the office. Got to go to the job site. Got to go to the field, wherever you are being sent today. Lord, use me, open a door for me. And then as you go, just be alert, be ready, get ready. Get ready, man of God. And when that door opens, you'll see it. When that door opens, you're just going to walk right through it. It's natural for you. It's who you are. It's how God's made you. It's where you're supposed to be. It's what you know. Then there's your identity in Christ and your spiritual gifts, and then out comes that anointing. It's not you. Remember, you're the jar of clay, right? The power is in the gift that you possess and the person supplying the power, which is Jesus. God will open the door. You go through it with your natural talents and spiritual gifts. And then you go through the next door, right? With Christ on your lips, right? Everything to that point is always just show up, be together, do your thing. And then the door opens and you walk through. And now It's turning into Christ coming to your lips. You're going to begin to share your why, the why you are talking about this and why you're leading this behind the what of your natural talent and spiritual gift that opened that door. And the why is Jesus. This is why. Jesus is why I need to share something with you. You know, this is my story. And you share your story of coming to Christ. And then, you know, maybe you prayed. Maybe you walked an aisle. Maybe you came to Christ at camp. But however it is that you got saved, you can always say at the end of that story, have you ever prayed a prayer like that? You ever made a decision like that? Wait for an answer. And then you say, if they say no, say, would you like to? You know, I have just been amazed at the simplicity of what it means to share the gospel with someone else. I just tell my story. It's wild. My story's wild. It's completely subjective. There was no church. There was no pastor. It was just me telling Jesus I wanted to see him. And when he came, I said yes. And I prayed a prayer. I talked to him. And I invited him into my life. And then, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm talking with a PhD or a child. I'll just say, you know, that's what happened to me. Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? And if they say no, in faith, risking in the direction of the heart of the Master, I will say, would you like to? And I have to say, my batting average is over the top. But I think it's just because it's not me at work. It's the power coming out of the jar of clay that gets to work. And so in the end, your natural talents and your spiritual gifts are going to put you in spaces and places that you'll get to tell others why, the why behind your what. And the why is Jesus. So when it comes to your natural talents and spiritual gifts, when the Master returns, he's going to say, hey, great, glad you're here. Now that you're in, I deposited these abilities that came natural to you because I chose your parents and their DNA. And, you know, what did you do with those? And then it's like, then you said yes to me. And then I deposited the Holy Spirit, who then distributed some specific spiritual gifts that were put there to glorify me and minister and impact others right where you were, right? And for you to talk about me. How'd that go? You see, I want that moment to just be filled with joy. You know, Jesus has said these things to us so that our joy would be made complete, right? And joy now, joy when we do it, and man, lots of joy when we meet the Master. So let's pray and let's ask God to make his word come alive inside of us and through us. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Jesus, today we say yes to you. We say yes to who you are, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior. And we say yes to what you accomplished for us on the cross, dying for our sins so that our sins would be cleansed and washed away, so that we could know and have a relationship with God forever. We say yes to that too. We say yes to your cleansing, yes to your washing. And so God, in having said yes to you, we are in this great place of then now asking for you to multiply the natural talents and gifts you've given us, asking you to help us discover, discern, and deploy the spiritual gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit, gifts of evangelism, gifts of hospitality, gifts of apostleship, gifts of service, gifts of administration, Lord, gifts. And the combo, Lord, the combo, the natural talents, the spiritual gifts. Lord, we put them in your hands like loaf and fish, and we ask you, Jesus, to take those and multiply me to feed a hungry world that is hungry to know you, hungry for salvation, Lord. So we thank you today that there's going to be a time when we will just look you in the face and just go, see, I multiplied what you gave me. And you're going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And then together we're going to share your happiness. And I just thank you in advance for that moment. For every person on the other end of my voice, I seal it in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Share this with somebody that you know and love, and then join us for the next session next week. God bless.